And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him.
Thank you, Dwight. If you'd like to go ahead and open your Bibles to, actually, you may want to open them to Romans chapter 10. We're familiar with that one verse in Hebrews 11:6. Most of you can quote that one, but we're going to be looking in just a moment over in Romans chapter 10. One of the best acrostics that I've ever heard to use for the word faith is, forsaking all, I trust Him. That's a good way to remember the definition of the word faith. Forsaking all, I trust Him. Tonight I want to ask a question at the beginning. Are we saved by faith? Would you say yes? Would you say no? Would you give a qualified answer to that question? Are you saved by faith? Tonight I want to look briefly at what we've said in this study, especially in chapter 11 about faith. I want us to answer several questions rather quickly. What's so important about faith? What makes faith so powerful? How do you get faith? And what exactly does it do? So we're going to move quickly and look at those before we're done this evening. Number one, what is so important about faith? Well, the answer to that is found in the passage that was read for us at the beginning. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's why it's important. Now, my dad had certain things and certain idiosyncrasies. One of those was, in our household, you couldn't really be pleasing to Him unless you got up early. That always lasted. When Vicki and I would go back home after we were married, he would get up in the morning and he would make noise and rattle around and slam doors. He just hated for anybody to sleep late. Now, there were reasons for that. In his mind, he equated it with laziness. He had a strong work ethic, and he wanted that to be shared by his children and the ones they married and his grandchildren. So he had reasons for this, but if you wanted to please him, you got up when it was still dark, and he really would be happy with that kind of behavior. Now, God is pleased with faith. It's impossible to please God unless you have faith. Well, why is that so important to God? What are His underlying reasons? What is it about faith that makes God so happy? Well, it's because it means that we honor Him, we believe Him, we trust Him with everything we have. Look at the opposite of faith. The opposite of faith is unbelief. And John has told us in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 10, anyone who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar. That's why God is honored by faith. It shows our trust in Him. If we disbelieve Him, then we are calling God a bald-faced liar. That's why He's pleased with it. Dishonored by unbelief. Unbelief is an insult to the God of heaven. Some people say, you know, I just can't believe in the Word of God. I just can't believe God because of intellectual reasons. And I've heard people say that and make that argument. I would suggest it's for a different reason other than intellectual reasons. Anyone who is a true scientist, as Gene shared with us in his prayer tonight, anyone who is a true scientist will believe in God because the evidence is everywhere. We're surrounded by the evidence of the reality of God. Unbelief at its root is not an intellectual problem, and I would suggest is never an intellectual problem, but a heart problem. In Hebrews 3:12 it says, see to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Unbelief in the Word of God, unbelief in God Himself, is not just an intellectual problem. It is a wicked, sinful attitude of the heart. That's what God says Himself. Now, we all understand that on a personal basis. If I told you some information and you immediately turned around and started asking everyone else, I would wonder, well, why didn't you take my word on the matter? If you were told some bit of information by someone and you didn't trust that their word at all, that would be an insult to them. And in the same way, when God speaks to us through His Word and we disbelieve that, we're reflecting on His character. We're reflecting on His honor. We're reflecting on His ability to be a source of all truth. Now, what is it that makes faith so powerful? Faith itself is no big deal. Do we realize that? Faith itself is no big deal. Custer believed that he could defeat Sitting Bull. Was he right or was he wrong? Well, he was wrong. All the faith in the world couldn't change the reality of the odds that he was up against. We teach our children to have faith, and there are a lot of coaches who will go to great measure to instill faith in their teams, and they still lose on Friday night. You know, faith in and of itself is no big deal. There are lots of salespeople who leave meetings every Monday morning, and they're full of faith, and they still go broke. Faith is not the big part of the issue. Faith is no better than its object. And we've talked about this before. Tonight, we could do a little exercise, and we could divide this congregation into three crowds, and I could say, okay, you folks over here, we're going to turn the lights out, and I want you to try an approach of faith, and I want you just to say, let there be darkness. Now, we're not going to do this, but suppose we do. You could say, let there be darkness. And you believe that if you said it and you believed it hard enough, the lights would just go out. And then I could say to this middle group here, why don't you try mental telepathy? Don't even say anything. Just sit here and just think darkness and see if the lights will go out. And have faith in that approach. And then I could say to this group over here, now, you have faith in knowledge, in the object of what you know. And there is someone in this crowd over here that probably knows where the light switches are. And why don't you let your approach be to objectively go over and do what you know will work? Well, we all understand and know faith only works when your object is correct in the whole matter. Faith and faith is nothing more than positive thinking. Back in chapter 10, verse 11, we read, "He who believes in Him, in God, will not be put to shame." It's not the believing, it's the object of our believing that makes things happen. And some people say, yeah, but faith can move mountains. That's not true. It's God that moves mountains. It's our faith in the God that moves mountains. Faith in and of itself can do nothing. It's the object that matters. Now, if you believe that God can move mountains, you've placed your faith in the right object, because He is the only one who can move mountains. The thing that makes Christian faith so powerful is that it is centered on God. Weak faith in God is better than faith in anything else. And a lot of us struggle with weak faith, but let me tell you, as long as your weak faith is in God, that's better than strong faith in any object that's unreliable. When Satan tempts us in this area of our faith, and he does, and he'll come and he'll chastise us for our weak faith, we just need to say to him, well, Satan, that may be true that my faith is sometimes weak, but the object of my faith is incredibly strong, and that's God. Now, how do we get faith? Where does faith come from? Look here in this passage in Romans chapter 10. And there in Romans chapter 10, beginning down in verse 17. How can they believe? How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And then you go on down to the end of the trail. I mean, how can you have faith? Well, you've got to believe. Well, how can you believe? Well, you've got to hear. Well, how can you hear? Someone's got to come tell you. Well, if you trace that all the way down to the end product, there in verse 17, as it says in the King James Version, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's the end of the trail in this whole faith quest. The origin of all Christian faith is found in this book. Nowhere else. In God's Word to us. In Psalm 119, 105, the psalmist says, "Your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And so for the Christian, faith is never a leap in the dark. That's not what biblical faith is. Faith is not a leap in the dark. It's a step in the light. It's based on the reality of the promises of God. Without a word from God, there can be no basis for faith. And that's why I have problems with people who just conjure up faith based on their own wishes. And it's sad to me when I'll hear people say, when they've talked to some faith healer, "Well, I've got faith that God will heal my child." I think that's dangerous territory, because we don't always know what God's will is in our lives. We can't predict some things. Tragedy befalls us all. I have a problem when someone will say, well, "I have faith that God is going to bless my business." Well, maybe He will and maybe He won't. Maybe He knows that if you were blessed with much material goods, you wouldn't be able to handle it. And so maybe He won't bless your business enterprise. We can't know in some of these matters. And we need to be careful about trying to have enough faith to believe in things that we're not certain about. Now, I do have faith that Jesus is coming back. You know why? Not because I just want it to happen, but because God has said so in His Word. I do have faith that good will ultimately prevail over evil. Not because that's what I wish would happen, but God has said that that's what's going to happen. Read the end of the book of Revelation. I do have faith that God loves me unconditionally, and that no matter how bad I am or how low I get in my life, God will never stop loving me. He'll always be willing to forgive me and receive me back. That's not just because I think that would be wonderful if that happened. It's because God has said that in His Word. God says it, therefore I believe it. And that's faith. If faith comes from God's Word, then you and I need to be in the Word. If we struggle with a faith that is at times a weak faith, not as strong as it should be, then we need to read more of the Word of God and believe the things that God said. If God said it, then put your trust in Him. Believe in the things that He has said. Well, what exactly will faith do? Faith is always intended to prompt obedience. That's what saving faith is all about. Faith always responds. True faith, Christian faith, biblical faith. And so over here in Hebrews chapter 11, look again, and you'll see the kind of faith that pleases God, the kind of faith that we read about here in verse 6 that we must have in order to please Him, is the faith that He enumerates here in all these great characters of faith. Verse 4, "By faith Abel offered." It's a faith that responds. Verse 5, "By faith Enoch was taken from this life," and it goes on down at the end of verse 5, and it says, "He was commended as one who pleased God." He responded in faith and honored God by his actions. In verse 7, "By faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark." All of these individuals are individuals that did what God asked them to do. They heard the Word of God, they believed the Word of God, and they obeyed the Word of God. In verse 8, "By faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went." You know, there's an immediate response to the Word of God, and God is so honored by that. God is honored when we take Him at His Word, when we believe it, and that is faith. Biblical faith is belief with legs on it, as someone has said. God has provided His Word, and He stands behind every promise, command, statement, word that He's provided for us. So I ask you again, as we conclude, are we saved by faith? The answer is yes. Yes, a resounding yes. We are saved by this kind of faith we've just looked at. We're saved by a faith that trusts in the Word of God and responds to what that Word is. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, if you've never taken that step of faith to become a child of God, we hope that you'll not leave this place without having done that. If tonight you need to share a burden and ask for prayer, this is another area that we can have absolute faith in. God hears prayers and God honors prayers. And God can't always change circumstances, but He can give you the strength to bear up under whatever it is you're dealing with. So tonight, if you need to come for that or any other reason, we invite you to do so as we stand and as we sing.